The first thing he did was break the surveillance camera. They kept it in plain sight, mounted high on the left corner of the building, overlooking the parking lot, a warning to anyone who might be in the mood to cause trouble. "We can see you." The little cage that protected it had come loose long ago, its door hanging by a single hinge, and nobody had ever gotten around to fixing it. Jamal, who had been an all-star pitcher in Little League when he was 12 years old, put the thing out of commission on his second try, using a rock about half the size of a youth tournament baseball. The lens shattered with a satisfying pop, and several shards of glass showered the blacktop. There was always a chance that someone inside the Jolly Mart might notice the monitor going blank, but Jamal knew that Robbie Weaver usually worked the late shift, and Robbie was a certified moron. He'd likely toss a glance at the screen, shrug, then go back to slobbering over one of the titty magazines they kept in a rack behind the counter. Not that any of this mattered. Jamal had worn a wool cap for the occasion, pulled down past his eyebrows, and he made sure to stick to the shadows at the side of the building as he waited. Even so, he liked to be cautious when he was jacking someone, and the less the cops had to work with, the better. Jamal figured he must have passed the Jolly Mart close to 1,000 times in the last 4 years, and had stopped inside at least half that many. It was strategically located on his route to and from school, and it was a rare day he didn't grab a big slush or a candy bar on his way home. He was usually traveling by foot, because unlike most of the prissy-ass bitches at Ecclestone Academy, he hadn't been born into a pile of money and couldn't afford a car. Not yet, at least. This was Jamal's fifth time out in the last 3 weeks, and each time he'd chosen a different location. First there was Feldman's grocery store 4 blocks over, where he'd taken $85 off some porky bitch in a brand new Lexus SUV. He'd let her keep her wedding ring, her finger was too fat to get it off, but the necklace she'd worn had added another $200 to the pot. Then there was the Top Hat Liquor Emporium at the strip mall on Elston Avenue, where he'd stood outside and watched some old dude pull out a fat wad of cheese to pay for a bottle of Chivas Regal. 2 minutes later, Jamal was shoving the barrel of his father's .44 against the back of the old guy's neck as he climbed into a caddy. Jamal had walked away with over $300 that night, and had celebrated by stopping in at the nearest game hut to buy himself a copy of Protect and Defend. His best night, however, had been just last week, when he'd jacked that ass-clown real estate developer Larry Laverty, who lived right there in Jamal's neighborhood, 4 houses up the street. Jamal caught the guy in his own driveway just seconds after he'd pulled in. He'd worn a ski mask and gloves that night and kept his voice low as he commanded Laverty to hand over his wallet. Guy nearly pissed himself, standing there like a whipped pussy as Jamal shoved the wallet in his pocket and took off. 20 minutes later, he stood in his room over the garage counting close to a G in cash as blue lights flashed up the block. Jamal's dad worked as a driver and mechanic for the Mickelsons, and a small 2-bedroom servant's flat was one of the perks. Jamal could see the whole block from his window, all the rich dudes coming and going in their luxury cars with their trophy wives and their screwed-up little rugrats who always looked at him as if he were some kind of rash they'd picked up at summer camp. Jamal was a misfit, a half-black 99er Obama wannabe who didn't belong in their school. Ecclestone Academy was private, and he was only going there because the Mickelsons, who didn't have any children, had pulled some strings. To his classmates, his presence there had tainted its rarefied air, so he spent his days alone, reading books he'd pilfered from the school library. The other kids may have looked at him as a loser, especially after he'd decided not to join the baseball team, but he was regularly pulling in a 3.9 grade point average and had his sights set on community college. Unlike the real losers, these lazy rich kids who would breeze through daddy's alma mater on the family name alone and never have to work for a living, Jamal wanted to do something with his life, and he knew that school was his ticket to the top. Jacking jerk-offs like Laverty was only a temporary thing. He'd lost his dishwashing job at the Pottery Steakhouse, and this was just a stopgap measure until he could find another one. He made sure to target only wealthy people, kind of like Robin Hood. Steal from the rich, give to the poor. Only in this case, the poor was just Jamal Reginald Wallace.